Welcome to Grow Your Influence, leadership conversations for business owners and managers. Whether you own a business and have a team, or leadership is part of your role, welcome, you're exactly where you need to be. Join co-hosts Juliette Robinson and Christy Lee Billett for their regular conversations on all things leadership. No corporate jargon, no textbook ideologies, just real life experience unpacked in a relaxed way to help you be your best boss and lead your team with confidence, clarity, and control. This is Grow Your Influence. Let's dive in. Hey, Juliette, how are you?
Christy Lee, hi, great. Great to be back in the room with you.
Yes, I am very excited for today's discussion. This is a topic we have not yet grappled with too much ourselves on the podcast, although we have had a wonderful guest join you to talk about this topic before. Today we're talking psychopaths at work.
Yes, absolutely. And yes, I loved my conversations with David Gillespie that we put up for our summer series. Mm-hmm. He's got two books on the subject. One is called Taming Toxic People, and the other, which he wrote last year, is called Toxic at Work. And it's interesting. So I talk about psychopaths when I talk with people about having difficult conversations or dealing with difficult people. I put some of his work into that now, and it's amazing. Every time I get such a response from people, because everybody says, oh yeah, I know someone like that, or I'm working with someone like that at the moment, or I just left someone like that. It's interesting how these people are in our lives. But we often don't have a word for it.
No, because I think the word psychopath feels like it belongs in a 1980s horror film.
Oh, totally.
And it feels extreme, the word psychopath, but it's not extreme at all. It's quite a portion of the population, isn't it?
It is. I agree. I think it feels really over the top. And people often use the term sociopath these days instead. Just because it feels a bit more comfortable, I think.
Yeah.
But David Gillespie would say the research says probably 1 in 20 people in the general population are like this. But at a senior executive level, it's about 1 in 7.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Isn't it?
Yes. Why do so many psychopaths get big jobs?
Because they're so good at progressing themselves. Mm. So when we talk about psychopaths, David Gillespie's definition is people who have no empathy. Mm-hmm. And they have no empathy because they lack specific neurons at the front of their brain called the von Economy neurons. And so they're just unable, they're neurobiologically unable to feel empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is they learn how to respond. They learn what is expected from them. So they can be really charming and eloquent superficially because they know what you want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So they interview incredibly well. They can charm people really easily because they feel no remorse from lying. So they can lie without compunction and manipulate situations or people because it's all just about them and about how they progress themselves and their careers at work. And they don't feel sorry for people. They don't feel bad for the people they manipulate or lie to. So it makes it really easy for them. Whereas people with empathy are going to be a bit more worried about it.
Yes, and probably stop themselves from lying to get to the top.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Well, and because if you feel empathy, we tend to assume best intent in people.
Yeah.
And so even if a psychopath does something that's a bit odd or seems insincere or it's even a bit antisocial, we will tend to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
Because we'll think, well, they generally okay, or it'll just be a one-off. You know, whereas actually that's just the way they behave and they're not going to change.
No, because this is a neurological issue. This is a, you know, this is part of their makeup. So I think that's a really interesting sort of point to really anchor in here, that this is something that they're not able to overcome.
No. They're not going to learn empathy. They're not going to grow the ability to feel empathy. So we are not going to change them.
No.
If they're in our team, they're not going to suddenly become empathetic and great team members.
No.
Who they are is who they are. And as I say, yeah, neurobiologically, that's just the way it is. So we as leaders need to work out how to deal with that.
So I guess my question would be, and I'm sure there's listeners thinking this exact question, how do we tell if we've got a psychopath on our team? Like, what are some of the, I mean, I can reflect and think about people that I know through my business journey, who I now could easily identify to be psychopaths. And exactly as you've just defined, incredibly charming, able to perform in front of a crowd, able to convince people that they're exceptional at things that they have no clue about, and very successful in their working life, their careers and their businesses. So in hindsight, I could recognize those people, but if they're on our teams, are there telltale signs we can sort of look for?
Well, I think in my experience, and then David Gillespie would say, once you know, you can sort of spot them. And I certainly, when I think about people, I think are like this, their responses, particularly in a group situation, are often a nanosecond behind everyone else's because they're trying to read the room to understand what response is required here. So you'll see them just slightly behind everybody else, particularly if it's a response that requires, emotion in terms of sadness, empathy for somebody, that sort of thing, feelings around things. But also, they take credit for other people's work. They'll often talk about their own success. Very rarely they'll talk about the team. And they will tell lies. And I think we can spot it often because they tell a line. You might think, oh, they just got that wrong. And then they'll say something else, and you realize they've just got this, their own reality going on, basically.
That's my reflection on the people that I would now, in hindsight, identify is they seem to think the rules of the world don't apply to them.
They totally think that, yes,
Yeah, and they're kind of
absolutely.
operating in their own reality, exactly
Yeah,
that.
yeah.
And
Yeah,
so if you think about that in your team, someone who is acting as if the rules do not apply to them and they're in a different reality, that might be something that is a bit of a red flag. And I think a lot of the other behaviors you just described also remind me of people that I call below the line, in that above the line, below the line context. We talk about below the line people taking credit for work that's not theirs and never giving credit to others. We talk about below the line people blame, shaming, and justifying. Very similar kind of behaviors.
Absolutely. Yes. That undermining your teammates is classic psychopath because it's all about promoting themselves. So they will take credit, they will undermine other people. Classic psychopath in a workplace is interesting too, is that they will focus if they want to progress their careers and you're their leader, they're focused on how do they get your job or above. So often what you see is they will make friends with your boss and the people above you and around you, your peers at your leadership level. And again, be very charming, tell them everything they want to hear, and then start talking you down. So by the time you're talking to them about this person who's a bit problematic, that your psychopath has already sown seeds of doubt about your capability and your competence.
So a lot of gaslighting behavior.
Oh, totally. Yes, absolutely. And even when they appear to be charming, they're not trying to connect with you. You're just a means to an end for them.
You're being used.
Yeah, totally. And this is why, whilst there might be one in 20 in the general population, one in seven at senior executive levels, because they're so good at this, at progressing and manipulating.
Just chasing down what they want without any care in the world about who they're going to run over on the way through, basically. Is there any distinction between male and female? Like, do we see a higher portion in genders, or is it's consistent?
I'm not sure that there's research around the sexes.
Because I've certainly seen it in both, so I was just interested to, because I think, we have, perceptions that maybe that males are stronger and more keen to get ahead, but some of the psychopaths I'm referring back to in my mind are certainly female. So I was just interested in that. So if we've got someone on our team who we think could fit into this little container and we don't like to label, how do we manage them?
It's really interesting. So David Gillespie would say, certainly don't put them in charge of people.
No, absolutely not. Your worst
Focus on
leaders.
their Exactly. Focus on their technical specialization. If you make them a team leader or a manager, they're just going to use their team to progress themselves. They're not interested in the team as such. So be very careful about that. I also, we talk with people about, as a leader, building trust through vulnerability as much as through doing the job. And these are not people you want to get too vulnerable with. You don't want to share too much personal information with them because they'll just use it however they can. So that's a really tricky one. And yet, as we say, it's really hard. You've only got to have one person in your team who isn't going to be vulnerable, and it affects the trust within the team. But I would say be very careful about sharing personal information. And focus on honesty. Because psychopaths are really comfortable lying, it doesn't matter to them. Being really, really clear about what's true and what's not is really important. Sticking to facts, encouraging honesty, rewarding honesty, so that they can't get away with things, I think is important.
And I think that's I've seen other leaders come undone here when they've had someone like this on their team. They start to second guess themselves and they think, "Oh,
Absolutely.
did I get that wrong?" No, you didn't get that wrong. You definitely said that. But it can cause you to second guess yourself and even think, that you're going a little bit crazy. But I think being really self-aware to focus in on what is the truth and having people around you that can help confirm that would help with that. I feel like these people may be better working in isolation, but I guess they don't like that because they fuel from it.
I think that's absolutely right because they want to progress, and using people is a much quicker way to progress than just having to do the job themselves. Because they're so focused on themselves as well, running a team where you're completely focused on team goals is another way to manage some of that, so that everyone is drawn into focusing on the team. Look, what David Gillespie would say is if you keep honesty, if you keep people honest and you call somebody on lies or manipulations, and you call them every time it happens, you focus on team goals, they'll probably leave
Yeah, because they're
because you're
not
making it
getting
too
what they
hard.
want. Yeah.
You're making it too hard for them to progress easily. So they'll go somewhere else where somebody will let them.
Yeah. I wonder if there's a way we can assess for it in the recruitment process.
Really hard, isn't
Really
it?
hard. Yeah.
Look, David Gillespie again, he would say there's a few things we can do to make sure we don't get them in our teams. But it's not a guarantee.
There's no foolproof, give
No.
them this questionnaire and you'll know for sure that they're a
Yeah, exactly. Are you
psychopath. Wouldn't that be
not?
nice?
But he says things like when you're recruiting, look, there's some signals. One of them is they've had lots of different roles. They've moved a lot. So you'd want to look into some of that. He says most of the time, because they're charming, because they present incredibly well in interviews often, we don't even check references because we're just like, oh wow, they're fantastic. They've said all the right things. We totally want them on board. And he said, go and check references, and you want
Always
to
check
talk to
references.
them, talk to the referees. So often people don't though.
No, I know. Yeah, I have this conversation every single week that, oh, they're not worth it. People won't tell the truth. People tell the truth.
They
People
totally
absolutely
will.
tell the truth. So references, and importantly, when you do your references, don't just accept the person they're giving you. You need to talk to the person that they directly were reported to in their last position.
You're
That's who you're going to
probably
get
going
most
to
honest
manipulate them.
feedback.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's so true. It actually get to the person who led them, because that's where you'll get the truth.
Yeah.
The other thing is, what you might hear in an interview is someone like this talking other people down. So
Right.
being the champion in the team they've just come from, or fixing all the problems because the other people stuff things up. Be conscious of that kind of language.
That's always a red flag for me in interviews anyway. So that's interesting that that is a trait we're going to hear. So, whilst they look for how to operate in certain circumstances, they may, if you're a really astute interviewer, they may not read what you're looking for, if you can ask appropriate questions, so you can get them answering, you know, as they think that you want them to answer, i.e. I'm a hero and I did these five amazing things and saved the company tens of thousands of dollars, where what you're looking for is something very different. So,
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, isn't it, about being really curious in interviews and sort of looking around things, not just being drawn into the charm of somebody.
Yes, yeah, and I see that with people I work with all the time, that they'll say, but at interview they were so articulate, they were so lovely.
Yes.
And I think this is part of, you've got to be, if you're going to interview people, you have to leave your emotions at the door, and you have to be super, super harsh. And, you know, I know when I used to have a recruitment business, I had one of my lead consultants, awesome person, one of my great friends, but she loved to see the best in everyone. So she'd walk out of every interview wanting to be their best friend, where I was always much more, you know, pessimistic. But I think the word I'm looking for is pessimistic. I was much more looking for the faults.
Yes.
Because that's, you know, that's your job when you're interviewing.
Absolutely. But I think it is hard to do, and particularly because it all takes time as well. So we just want to find somebody and get them into the job.
Yep.
So it can be easy, I think, to just accept what we see and hear.
And as you said, because most of us have empathy, we think the best in people. So we think they're being honest.
Yeah, we do. We give people that, the benefit of that. The other thing is, and I was talking with a team the other day about, you know, having a 3-month trial period, that sort of thing, to bring people in. But one of them was saying they had a person like this in their team, and for 3 months they would charm itself to everybody. And the day after they were confirmed in a full-time role, they just turned.
Yes.
And became manipulative and terrible in the team.
Yeah,
so
I've seen
even
that
that
too.
Isn't a guarantee. But I think if we're conscious of how new people coming into our team impact the rest of the team, we can keep a bit of a handle on that.
And I think as well, using that probationary period, which I love a 6-month probationary period, using that period to not just let them, you know, sit idly and do whatever they like, really be assessing them, you know, in that probationary period, because I've certainly seen the same thing. Perfect, perfect, perfect for 6 months, 6 months and one day, horrendous.
Amazing, isn't it? Yes. Yeah. So I think there is no magic sort of silver bullet way to keep these people out of your teams, but there are certainly things we can try to do to be conscious of, to try and prevent them joining us, but then to manage them if they do get through.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely recommend listeners go back and listen to those David Gillespie interviews that you did as part of our summer series. We'll pop in the show notes which episodes they were. But he's an expert on this topic and I find it really fascinating. So I'm going to be doing some more reading and researching on this because human behavior is my favorite place to play. So I'm really curious to learn more about this. And particularly, I think I might do some research into how we can pick this up in the hiring process so we avoid having to leave these people in our business.
I think that's exactly right. If we can catch them there, they don't ever become that kind of hand grenade in our team that can go off at any time and that infects everybody.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Juliet, thank you for that discussion. I really loved hearing your expertise on that topic, and I feel like we might be revisiting this one.
Oh, I think so. We'll keep coming back to it because I think it is one that we all struggle with. So, look, great to talk, Christy Lee.
Thanks, Juliet.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a rating, comment, and review wherever you listen to your podcast. And don't forget to recommend us to a friend. We also love hearing suggestions for topics or guest speakers that you would love to hear from. The best way to reach us to give us those suggestions is over on our Facebook page. Simply head to Facebook and search Grow Your Influence. See you there.